This morning we got some special guests all the way from Johannesburg, and it's so wonderful to have Mark and Kerry with us. Gary, amen. How many children have they got? Four. Well done, you know them well. Amen. What did they share yesterday? What type of bus? Us bus, there we go, guys. If you missed the us bus, oh, you need a fellowship with someone after church and find out how you can be part of the us bus and who drives the us bus. So, amen. Great, it was really awesome yesterday afternoon. Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you for feeding us, and really excited about this morning. Who's got friendships that are spiritual friendships from last century? You know what I mean? Last century, 1900s, from the 1900s. And we met these guys when they were still very single, sort of liked each other. And it's just so wonderful to, they now are married, is it 32 years, got four grown-up children. Just really do appreciate our friendship and our spiritual friendship, actually. It's not just a friendship, it's a spiritual friendship. And appreciate that you can be involved in our lives, we can be involved in your lives, we can share our lives with you. And just the many years. I'll share something. A few weeks ago we had that very sad news with Lindsay, and we all jumped in the car and we started driving to Joburg. We had nowhere to stay for the night, and as we were on the way up, we phoned these guys, said, guys, we're going to be arriving at about 1 o'clock in the morning. Can you please host us? And they were sitting there waiting in normal civilian clothes, not jammies, you know what I mean? They were waiting for us, and that's your heart. And that's what I introduced this morning, a brother and a sister in Christ who have got just amazing hearts. And we're so excited this morning to hear from you that you can mold our hearts too. And so thank you very much for being here this weekend. Mark and Kerry, amen. Great to have you. And there we go.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be in Durban with you all. I'm just so blessed to be able to fellowship with you. And Dunks and Lees, we love you guys too so much. Thank you for your friendship and your many years of faithful service to the Lord. We see old and new friends as well. Some we met yesterday at the Marrieds. But my prayer is that God will continue to really help us all be rooted in love for God and love for each other. Amen. Yeah. Really rooted in that. And I know God is blessing this church in amazing ways. Yesterday, I believe you guys had the first rains, right? Anybody excited to see a bit of rain? Yeah. If you're like me, I mean, I just love seeing rain. Why? Because there's anticipation. Our grass in Joburg is dry, and we've got rabbits. My daughter has rabbits, and the rabbits are eating the grass, and the grass is looking horrible. And so we can't wait for that grass to go green and the plants and the leaves and all of this beauty that we can expect. Any farmers in the house? We got a couple of farmers. When you guys see rain, you don't only see rain, you see harvest. You know, it's a promise of a better future. So this is what it's all about. You know, our son Matthew, and maybe, what do I do here? Let's just see. Oh, there we go. Okay. So our son Matthew, when he was young, he got some lemon seeds. Now, tell me if you've ever tried this, but he got some lemon seeds and he put it into cotton wool. You know, damp cotton wool, put it out in the sun, and we're like, okay, whatever. But those things, those little seeds started growing, little roots, and soon they were little, you know, little shrubs or whatever. And then he took them and he planted them in the front of our garden. Okay, let's see what happens. And over those years, those little shrubs became taller and taller and taller. And I don't know if you can see that. That is a lemon from the tree he planted. Okay. Oh, sorry. That is a lemon from the tree he planted probably 15 years ago. That tree has grown enormous. It stands about 2.5 meters tall and has produced hundreds and hundreds of lemons. We put it in our drinks when we've got colds, into our food. We've handed out hundreds of these lemons to friends and families and neighbors and anybody. I mean, it's been incredible to see what that one little seed has produced over the years. I mean, this is the size of it. I don't know if you, I stand about halfway. My head reaches about halfway up that tree. But what is amazing about that tree is from those lemons, guess what we're planting? More lemons. There's about 10 to 12 little lemon trees in there. And Matthew wants to take some for his house, and we're going to plant some more. So we're going to have like an orchard of these lemon trees all over our garden. And what is amazing about that, think about the potential in one seed. That one little seed, that one little act of planting it, nurturing it, think about the impact that has had, the fruit that it's borne. I mean, it's limitless. That potential is limitless, not only for today, but for the future. There's the future right there. And those seeds, you know, I mean, those plants will grow up. And he's also planted nachis. So now we've got nachi trees going. He planted chilies and he sold chilies in the neighborhood. I mean, some of you who know Matt, he's a real entrepreneur. But that one seed has so much potential. You know, many, many, many years before Matthew planted that seed, there was another garden. Not that mankind or anyone planted, it was that God had designed. It was called the Garden of Eden. We all know it well, right? And it was this incredible garden. I can't even imagine what kind of plants. What's your favorite plant, quickly? Favorite tree? Avo. So there's all sorts of avo trees there. What else? What else? Pineapples, lychees, a couple of mango trees. Did I see pawpaw trees? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine just the life and the beauty of this garden that God had designed carefully? And the Bible tells us that it was beautiful and it was good. And this is where Adam and Eve lived. This was their home. This incredible home where God walked with them, you know, and talked with them throughout the day. And if we go to, I'm actually going to not focus on this, but just turn over to Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading from verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Get there. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and over the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" So God gives them this beautiful garden, incredible garden, but we see something deeper that God gives them. The Bible tells us, he says that, "Let us make mankind in our image." So one of the first things he tells us is he gives them identity. They had God's nature in them. God's very character was flowing in them. They had this incredible sense of worth because of their link to God. The next thing we know, and this is in Genesis chapter 3, is that he provides intimacy. The Bible tells us that they walked and they talked with God. Can you imagine right now if God walked into this building? What would we do? How many of us would run? I mean, imagine every day you wake up and there is God walking in your garden. That intimacy. He surrounds them with their love. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter, in verse 28, he says to them, have dominion over every living thing. So what does he give them? He gives them authority. He gives them an authority to rule, to steward the earth, to care for creation, to make sure that God's rule on earth is represented through them. Next thing the Bible tells us, he says he blessed them. He blessed them. He gave them capacity. He empowered them. He empowers them to be fruitful, to flourish. Thank you. Somebody's on top of this. And to thrive. And lastly, he says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. He gives them purpose. He gives them an assignment, an incredible assignment to steward and expand God's kingdom. This was God's plan and purpose for Adam and Eve. But we know the story, don't we? There were two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was the tree where you had to choose. You had to choose between doing it my way or doing it God's way. Between obedience and disobedience. Between dependence on God and autonomy. And what happens? A snake arrives. We know the story. And sows a seed of doubt and of disobedience. God's not telling the truth. He's not really looking out for your best interests. He really doesn't want the best for you. And that seed is planted, and we know what happened, right? They look at this tree and they go, wow, that fruit does look amazing. Maybe God is holding out on us. And they take that fruit and they eat that fruit. And in that one moment of believing that seed that was planted as it grew, in that one act of disobedience, all those five things, identity, intimacy, authority, purpose, capacity, all gone, shattered. They're kicked out of. So what comes in its place? What we see coming in is their identity was lost. They run and hide, the Bible tells us. They go and hide. They're covered in shame. They doubt their worth. Intimacy was broken. They run from God. That intimacy, that closeness is broken. And there's separation now. Their authority is forfeited. They're kicked out of the garden. They're out. They don't have this beautiful garden to tend for anymore. Their capacity, that blessing that they were given, is turned into a curse. And life becomes a struggle and stressful. And all of that is gone. And then their purpose is clouded. Instead of filling the earth with God's glory, we know what happens. Humanity spreads confusion. There's violence and despair. And so what enters their world is deceit, fear, shame, blame, division, hatred, loss, lack, and darkness. Because of that decision to let that seed germinate in their hearts and souls. That's what they lost. And you know what the scary thing is? Ever since the fall of mankind, we've been chasing after those five things. We've been chasing them, but we want to do it apart from God, on our own terms. So in seeking identity, thanks, I'm just going to. What has happened? As we've sought identity, where have we looked for identity? We've looked for it in all the wrong places. In our status, in our careers, in our causes, in our culture, in our appearance. And now we see, you know, people living with a very distorted idea of their own self-image. People-pleasing. Anybody struggle with people-pleasing? I know I do. Approval. You know, struggling with, what do people think? How do I come across? Am I enough? We see people chasing after intimacy in all the wrong places. We have these shallow, very shallow worldly connections and relationships. There's defensiveness in our relationships now. That was never there before. We see intimacy being replaced with lust and pornography. Pornography is destroying what God had originally created. Performance-driven religion. In chasing after authority, that's been twisted. Instead of being stewards of what God has given us, what do we see now? We see rebellion, aggression, exploitation, corruption, abuse, insecurity, self-righteousness. I'm better than you. We see this sort of inferiority complexes. In trying to gain capacity, that's been reduced to grind and these self-help strategies. AI, anybody use AI? I mean, I love using AI. Chat. But that is being, you know, that's become a god in its own right. It's been created in our image. Instead of us being created in God's image, we are now chasing it. What does AI think? What is AI? Now, I'm not saying it's not a helpful tool, but you know what I mean? We can become dependent on it. And in terms of a purpose, that's been replaced in what's in it for me. Selfish ambition. How do I advance my kingdom? Distractions. Anybody do a lot of scrolling, doom scrolling? I know sometimes I can be on my phone and before I know it, it's like half an hour later, like, what am I doing with my time? Is it only me from Joburg? Eh? It must be a Joburg thing. It's all about making a name for ourselves. You know, I don't know if any of you can relate to any of those things that have infiltrated our hearts. You know, we try to do life on our terms without God, and what does it lead to? Loss, separation, disappointment, pain, suffering. Our identity was shattered in that moment. Intimacy broken, authority surrendered, blessings replaced, and our purpose was clouded. And that's what sin is. At the core of it all, sin is wanting to have those things apart from God. And it never works. It never works. But you know what's exciting? God had a plan. Where humanity failed, Jesus triumphed. And this is the good news today, that in Christ, everything that Adam lost has now been restored to us in Christ. And this is what I want to talk to us today, because this is something that when we talk about the good news, sometimes we wonder, what is still good about it? Ever felt that way? It's like, okay, it's news. Okay, Jesus died and he was born and died. But what's good about it? What's good about it? And sometimes I've struggled that, especially when we've gone through hard times and we've faced disappointment and hurt and that, and we go, God, what happened? What happened to the good news? What is this life in Christ? And I'm here to share with you that the good news is good news. Amen. And I'm going to tell you why. I want to tell you why. You know, John 10:10, the Bible tells us that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I love the Passion Translation. It says, but I've come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. Anybody want to overflow? Feel that abundant life, that incredible sense of, wow, this is incredible. And so let's look at what Jesus did to reclaim what was stolen. And I'm going to go through these with you. Okay, you guys ready for this? And you know what we're going to do? You're not just going to say amen, okay? Don't give me amen. We are going to go through these together because these are seeds. These are seeds that if we plant them in our hearts and in our lives, guess what? They are going to bear fruit. And we're not going to let Satan steal these seeds from us. And we're not going to believe the lie that we can't have these without God, okay? So have a look at these. Look at what Jesus did. Intimacy. What does it say? That we have been reconciled to God. Romans 5:1. We now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, we enter into God's presence with what? With boldness. Guess what? We're back in the garden, people. We are back in the garden. It may not be Eden. It may be Durban. I don't know. Name your garden. Identity. We are new creations. We are children of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, what is he? A new creation. 1 John 3:1 says, see the great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. You and I are now children of God. Children. Authority. We now share in Christ's victory and reign. Luke 10:19 says, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Have you been attacked lately? Have you feeling a bit beaten down, pushed around? Anybody? Or is it, again, a Joburg? It's a Joburg thing. Okay. Yeah, Joburg. We need to come live down here, sweetie. Life seems really easy down here. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:6, we are seated with Christ in lowly places. In heavenly places. Think about, you're seated right now in heavenly places. I don't know what my seat looks like, but I'm seated up there with God. I have authority. Capacity, the Bible tells us that we are filled with the Spirit and we are empowered in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 3:20. God works in us immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And then in terms of purpose, we are restoring God's mission. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people that you may declare the praises of him. And we know in Matthew 28 that we are ambassadors of this good news. I hope you're getting excited. By the end of this time together, you guys are going to be excited, okay? Okay, I'm looking at the faces. Let me see, okay? We got a few excited folks. This is going to change your life if we understand the power of what we have in Christ. Amen? And we've got to see the miracle that in Christ, we now have identity. In Christ, we now have intimacy. In Christ, we now have authority. In Christ, we now have capacity. And in Christ, we now have purpose. These things have been restored. Kerry, it's going to come up and share.
Not really sure what I can add in terms of excitement after that, but I will try. And it is great being with you guys. Thank you, Duncan and Lisa, for inviting us down, being so hospitable. We love it here. Thank you, Marrieds, for what you guys shared with us yesterday. It was enriching for us, fulfilling for us. It really is wonderful being here. I wasn't crazy about the rain, but I know you need it. But I do want to share, I love the fact that Mark started in Genesis. Reminding us that God has a plan for each one of us. We are part of his story, not just Adam and Eve. And he created each one of us. Please just look at the person next to you. You are looking at the image of God. And when you go home later today, guys, please look in the mirror and say, "Ah, I'm looking at the image of God." I think we forget that, but that was God's original plan. We have his character. We have his attributes stamped and molded into us. And you know what? Hundreds of years later, David understood that. I actually find it so fascinating that we go from Genesis 1, we have to go all the way to Psalm 139 to hear in verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Think of all the people that lived in between that time that didn't understand that. But David did, hundreds of years later. And I certainly haven't always understood that. I've looked in the mirror many times, and especially lately, and said, oh, who is that 60-year-old staring back at me? And my husband said it even more. He doesn't just say it in his head. I hear, huh? Anyway, we've just turned 60. Sometimes. We've just turned 60. I think it's a wonderful milestone, but it's quite something. Thank you. But I haven't always looked and seen, there's the image of God. I've seen a lot of other things. I've heard my head telling me a lot of other things. But in those 60 years, I've had the privilege of being in a relationship with God for 40 years now. Last Wednesday was my birthday, September 3rd, 1985, at midnight, I was baptized. And it has been a privilege. It really has, to be able to walk with God these past 40 years. And I have seen him open doors, and especially this last year. Maybe you think after 40 years, you feel like, I've almost arrived. I feel like I am nowhere near arriving. This last year, God has opened doors for me to deepen my understanding of the realities Mark just talked about. What is my identity? What is my purpose? The authority, the capacity, the intimacy that he wants me to live with, walk with, think about, help other people understand. I am realizing that God has put so much content in my life, and he's helped me discover the strengths, the values, the passions that he has actually put in there. Not that I've figured out on my own, not that I've added, that he created me with his image, his unique part of himself that he put in me and that he actually put in each one of us. We're different. We have different strengths. We have different values. We have different passions. And are we living with those? Or as Mark said, are we looking for them in the world? Even as disciples, do we understand who God has created us to be? Hundreds of years later, another man understood it. Okay, he was, and David was inspired by God too. But Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship. I personally love the translation, the Living Translation, that says, his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had prepared in advance, maybe in Genesis 1, maybe prior to that, for us to do. He has a design, and we get to be part of it. But do we understand that? Do we live that way? So David got it. Paul got it. I hope the Ephesians got it when he wrote that letter to them. Do we get it today? We've each been handcrafted. And this is what this past year, I have been discovering this more and more, and it is exciting. We have been handcrafted to have an impact in this world as we walk with God. Through the highs and lows, the victories and learnings, the adventures and trials, God has never left me. And we've walked together. And in that, he's crafted my why, my reason for being here, which I want to share with you now. And we each have a why. But this is what I've realized this past year. I believe that every individual is divinely sought after. And as we help each other willingly connect to the true door opener and experience gracious transformation, we are empowered to activate our deepest passions and purpose and to become the best versions of ourselves, being beacons of light, shining in dark places. My prayer is that for each one of us to experience the abundant life that Jesus spoke about thousands of years ago, that Mark is going to help us with today, and that Jesus wants to restore in each one of us. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, sweetie. I guess the question for us today that we need to think about is, why do so many of us as Christians still feel stuck, like we're living outside of the garden? Ever felt that way?
No, only in Joburg.
Only in Joburg. Man, I'm out of here. But seriously, think about it. Why are we not filled with incredible peace and joy? You know, why the insecurity? Why do we still struggle with insecurity? I had to even pray before I even got up here. I was like, God, amen, help me. You know? What about self-control? Why are we so fearful? Anybody struggle with fear at times? Anxiety? You know, catastrophizing tomorrow. Oh my goodness, everything's falling apart. Why are we so disconnected from God and from each other? Why so defeated? Why so purposeless? Why so empty at times? What happened to those powerful prayers? What happened to those big dreams? What happened to moving mountains and walking victoriously? And these are the kind of questions I've had to ask myself. What is up with that? And yes, we've been through the tough times, and it's been hard, and we've been hurt, and we've been disappointed. But that doesn't change who you are in Christ. That doesn't change it. No matter what's happened to you, Jesus was crucified for us. It doesn't change who we are in Christ. You know, what's amazing is I've got a friend who adopted his nephew when he was very young, very young. So he has a son, and now he has a nephew. And he said, you know, the most perplexing thing, the most troubling thing about his nephew is that when his son comes to see him and asks for something, he asks boldly, he comes and, "Dad, I want the latest Nike. I want the latest PlayStation." You know, and he obviously doesn't just give him everything he wants. But there's a confidence and there's a boldness that his son comes, you know, to see his father with. But when the nephew comes, somehow the nephew has realized that he's not a true son. Even though, you know, my friend treats him as a son, he comes in and says, "Hi, uncle, can I have some milk?" "Of course you can have milk. Take anything you want in the fridge. Do you mind buying me a new school shirt? Because..." It's like, what on earth? Of course I'm going to get you a school shirt. But isn't this us sometimes? We approach God like we don't deserve it. We can't, you know, "God, please, can you help me survive today?" Do you know what I mean? We act like we're not his children. I mean, how many of us have children? When was the last time your child came and said, "Do you think we could have breakfast today? Are we going to maybe have some dinner? It's okay if we don't have dinner." I mean, you think this is crazy. Of course you're going to have. "I'm going to do whatever it takes to take care of you because I love you." And yet this is how we act and behave. I love the South African expression. "How are you doing, my friend?" "Well, I can't complain." You can't complain? You really want to? "Yeah, I'd love to complain, but I can't, you know." It's like, what on earth? Who are we? This is the language. Think about the words we use. Yeah. And the older you get, you know, you start having plumbing problems and all sorts of, you know. What was that? I mean, really? This is our God. This is our Father. The good news is, and I want to put the good back in the good news. The good news is that God has already given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. We have a new spirit flowing in us. We are seated, as I said, in heavenly places. The garden isn't the Garden of Eden anymore. It's been restored in us. We are that garden. We carry the fruit of the Spirit. Think about that. We are those Edens. We are the temples. In the old days, the Jews had to, you know, meet with God by visitation. They had to go to the temple. Today, we meet God by habitation. He lives in us. He lives in us. We are the temple. We are that sacred place. And I think, brothers and sisters, if we can just get a vision for who we are in Christ, if we can get a conviction, imagine how we will walk when we talk about the authority of God. We walk into situations differently and confidently. When we know we are truly loved, when we have purpose, when we have identity, what's going to stop us? What's going to stop this church? The dreams we'll have, the visions we'll have for campus and singles and married and who knows who else. Because those are the dreams that God has. To be fruitful and multiply and grow and bless. And we stop living in lack and we start living in abundance. Anybody want that? Yeah. To live like that? Unfortunately, Adam and Eve believed this lie, this seed that was planted. And so the question for us today is, how do we get back to that? How do we restore that? The Bible tells us in Genesis 1:29 that the garden was filled with seed-bearing plants. The seeds were the future of the garden. That's why God called. They had seeds. So what would happen as that fruit would die in the ground, they would be replanted. Brothers and sisters, the next chapter of your life, your family, and your future is hidden in the seeds that God has entrusted you. Question, what are the seeds that you're planting in your heart today? Think about that for a second. What are those seeds? And if we think about it, God has given us the seed. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is the seed of God. But not only that, our hopes, our talents, our relationship, our time, all of that, our thoughts, our words, and our actions are all seeds that are either planting life or, unfortunately, they're planting death. Satan doesn't want you and I to know our identity in Christ. He is still trying to rob that from us, like he did right at the beginning. He's still looking for ways. He doesn't want that. So what is he doing? He's planting seeds of deception. You don't really need God. You can't really trust God. Anybody ever felt like, God, do you really love me? Come clean, people. I know it's a Durban thing as well. I know here in Durban that happens too, okay? We all felt that. God, this doesn't feel like love. When you're going through the storms and you think, okay, I'm done. Boom, there you're down again. And there's disappointment and hurt. And this is Satan saying, you can't trust him. He doesn't really love you. And he's sowing seeds of fear and bitterness and unbelief and guilt and resentment and unforgiveness. The way that person treated you, oh, I wouldn't let that go. Mm-mm. That's a seed. Seed. And what happens to a seed? Ooh, that's right. That Duncan guy. That Mark guy. And suddenly we're bearing fruit. And guess who's eating the fruit? Other people. And suddenly there's division and dissension. The nature of the seed determines the nature of the harvest. And I think the question we need to ask ourselves is, as we look at our garden, what are the plants that we're seeing growing in our garden today? Look at the fruits, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our relationships. My question for us today is, in what areas are we not seeing abundance? What is it for you today? Is it peace? Is it unity? Is it friendships? What is stopping that harvest? And I've had to look at my own heart and go, wow, in my relationship with Carrie at times, I've been blaming her for things and not holding myself accountable for owning what I need to change. And what happens when I plant that seed and I believe that lie? Guess who becomes the bad guy? And guess what Satan is trying to do? Pull us apart. That's what he's doing. That's what he's constantly trying to do. So we need to look at the soils of our hearts. In Luke 8, we know the parable of the soils. Remember those four soils? There's the hard path where the seed drops, nothing. It gets stolen. Second, that shallow soil where we're not rooted in Christ. And what happens? Hard times come and we fall away. We fall away because we haven't let that seed grow. The third soil, the soil of desires and worries and that the weeds. I've actually got some pictures somewhere. So here's some, well, AI, by the way, generated that. But you can see what when we plant the wrong seeds, what happens. Here's the Word of God trying to flourish, and there's fear and greed and all these things strangulating, choking the Word of God, and we're not fruitful. And then there's the fourth soil. And I love this about Luke, and you can study it out for yourself. It says the fourth soil is the noble-hearted soil. Number one, it hears the Word, it retains it, and it perseveres. Three things. So as I'm looking and thinking about my heart, it's not about the sermon. Have you heard of the two robot rule? Many of us are going to leave this service And by the second robot, we have forgotten what we even talked about today. What are you going to do with this lesson today? Are you going to say, well, that was nice, those Joburg guys, you know? They really need some help up there. Or are you going to take time and say, God, help me. Help me look at my garden. And so the Bible says, number one, we need to hear the word. That means we need to be open and listening and soft and going, God, please, give me that seed. Let it plant deep in my heart. And then it goes on to say that, number two, they heard the word, they retained it. They meditated on it. They chewed on it. That's the difference between milk and meat. Milk, you can just drink it. What do you have to do with meat? You got to chew it. Think about it. Let it sink in deep into your heart. Let it take root. You've got to nurse it. And then it says, and by persevering in it, means abiding it through the storms. But God, I don't think you love me. No, no. Nothing can separate me from his love. Yeah, but God, can I trust you? You can trust me. You know, and we're not growing weary in doing good because we know for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. So we need to verse it. This is how I remember this. Nurse it and rehearse it. Okay? Get that verse. Nurse it. Nurture it. Water it. Keep thinking about it. Put it on your screen. Put it on your heart. Sing it. Shout it. Talk about it. Rehearse it. Rehearse it. Rehearse it. And what the Bible says is when we do that, we produce a harvest. We produce a harvest that blesses. Who needs more peace in their marriage? Okay. Who needs more joy in their life? Could anybody do with more fun and excitement? Yeah, more faith. Just looking at people differently. Just being, you know, just okay, the trials. But we need to change our, you know, what's the word? What ifs to even if. What if this happens? So what? Even if it happens, God is still in control. I want you now, we're going to do this together. I want you to affirm with me the following. Okay, we're going to repeat it together, okay? We're going to sow some seeds today. In Christ, I am a new creation. I am made in the image and likeness of my Father God. And I resemble him. Identity. In Christ, I am deeply loved by God. Identity, intimacy. In Christ, I can do all things. Okay, that was miserable. In Christ, I can do all things. That was better, but not great. In Christ, I can do all things. I am more than a conqueror. Authority. In Christ, I have every spiritual blessing. And in Christ, I have an incredible God-given purpose. Now, maybe you don't believe that right now. Take that home and plant those seeds. Let's help each other out. That's why we need each other. Sometimes I just don't believe anymore in myself or in God. And Kerry comes alongside me and says, Mark, get your eyes back on God. And she plants seeds and reminds me of who I am in Christ. Do you have people like that in your life? Gardeners that are helping, that are you know, helping us remember who we are in Christ. We need that. The truth of the matter is we can sow the same seeds in the same way and use Satan's seeds. We can plant lack and negativity and unforgiveness and offense. And guess what we do? We do the same things. We nurse that. Why did he talk to me like that? And guess what we do? We rehearse that. Don't we? Look at how he talked to me. Look at my wife said to me. I didn't like that. And then it grows and it grows and it grows. And then we wonder why our marriages are hurting and our friendships are hurting and why we can't forgive and why we're living in resentment. Because guess what? We let that seed plant. And suddenly it's bearing fruit. Suddenly it's bearing fruit. And so what we need to do is we need to repent. And what repentance means is we've got to tear out. We've got to tear out those weeds. We've got to tear out those things that are choking the word of God, that are stopping us from being fruitful. So we need to seed God's seeds, but then we need to weed out what is not from God. Choosing, you know, choosing what God wants for us. Sin is choosing to live outside of what God intended for us. It's choosing the wrong seeds. And honestly, I know for me at times, I don't mind the weeds anymore. Have you ever felt like that? You don't mind a bit of pride, and you don't mind a bit of selfishness or lust, and you just tolerate it. We should be alarmed. We should be alarmed when we see these plants growing in our hearts. We should be shocked. We should be desperate. We should be like, no, I'm not going to allow selfishness and impurity. This is a holy place. Your heart is a sacred place. This is where God abides. This is the temple of the living God. He has placed you with the power to shape your future. And I know at times I've not been radical about the sin in my life. Many times. And I go, well, I wonder why my marriage isn't where it needs to be, or with my relationship with my children. I wonder why I'm being so selfish, prideful. So as we grow in these different areas, Satan comes out after us. And I want to end off just with one last thought. When do I need to wrap up? Are we still good? Satan wants to steal those five things from us. And the only way we're going to protect ourselves as they start to grow. So the other day, I found these kind of worms growing on those little lemon trees. Those beautiful worms, but they were destroying. All the top leaves were gone. And these things were just not getting any higher. So I took them and I mushed them. Sorry, I mean, you know, and I squished them and they, and I got rid of those nasty things. Sorry if you're a worm lover, but they were not my panya worms, so I couldn't fry them, okay? But they were growing on those things. And Satan wants to steal and rob you of your identity. And just note this down. In Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, it describes how we protect that plant and that identity. It's called the armor of God. Number one, the belt of truth. We've got to remember and we've got to be grounded in God's truth that our identity is based on what He says, not on what the world says, not on what your emotions are saying, not on what your past, it's on what God says about you. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We are covered by Christ's righteousness. We are declared innocent. We are made new. Amen. The shoes of peace. You are ambassadors of reconciliation. Bringing peace of the gospel wherever you go. The shield of faith. The Bible says that we can use that shield to extinguish the lies of the enemy. Those accusations. Ever felt accused by Satan? You're just not worth it. You're never going to make it. You're not enough. You're not good enough. You're a bad person. We've got that shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Our minds are protected. We are saved. We are secure. We are loved. We are redeemed. And in the sword of the Spirit, you can stand, you can speak, and you can act according to God's word. Amen? Amen. So as we get hold of this, my prayer is that our identity says, this is who I am in Christ. And the authority says, and this is what I can do in Christ. And then we can have this incredibly abundant life in Christ. The life that Christ wants us to have. that life to the full, brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen. So let's decide today, please. Let's start planting the right seeds in our thoughts. Let's start speaking life, not death. Let's start acting like we belong to Christ. We have authority and identity and capacity. Amen? The potential is limitless. You know, I think of that lemon. I was actually going to bring it, and then I forgot to bring it. I actually cut it up, and I juiced it and whatever. But the seeds you sow today are your future tomorrow. I'm going to say that again. The seeds you sow today represent your future tomorrow. My prayer is that we can sow the seeds that God wants so that we can bring an abundance harvest, not just for ourselves, but for our children, so that they can experience and taste peace. They can taste joy. They can taste faith. They can taste unity and fellowship, so they can taste it. That lemon tree didn't produce lemons for itself. It produced it for us. And so the fruit we bear today or tomorrow is for our children and for our fellowship. Amen. As we think about the cross this morning, let's take a moment to look at the garden of our hearts. What is growing in there? And let's be honest with ourselves. What is growing in that garden? What do we need to seed? What do we need to weed? What do we need to repent of? What are those new seeds we need to plant? And let's remember the price that Jesus paid to allow us to now live this new life and this new identity. That wine and that bread is the receipt, is the price, is the cost of us allowing to enjoy his new favor and our new identity in Christ. Amen? Amen. And my prayer is that I know for me this is something that I'm wrestling with, because I can so often feel inferior or insecure. Do I have it? Can I do it? And God is trying to say, you can. You can. In Christ, we have all those things. Amen? And this is the price of grace. So let's go to God in prayer as we pray for the communion.